I have an 11-year-old friend who grew up on computers. At the age of 3, he knew how to work the remote key start to my car, writes Barbara Brown Taylor. By the time he was 6, he was so quick on the trigger with his video games that no adult could best him. He was so quick, in fact, that it became difficult for him to focus on anything for more than a few seconds before he ran off to something else. When his parents brought him to my farm, he came equipped with his DVD player, his Game Boy, and various electrical toys he used for hand-to-hand combat. I played one of them with him that involved pressing buttons on a remote control so that a little plastic boxer would flail his arms and legs with the object of knocking down his little plastic boxer. By the time I figured out how the buttons worked, my plastic boxer was already lying face up, punching at the air. My young friend crowed with victory. He had won again. I don't remember how the two of us ended up going from that to digging potatoes. I think I refused to play anything else with batteries, and he sullenly followed me to the barn. Like many his age, he had never made the connection between what he eats and where it's grown. If you had told him that grapefruits grow on trees, he wouldn't believe you. But once he learned to stick his hands in the dirt and start to feel around, to break up those clumps of dirt waiting to feel for something that felt like a potato, this young kid dug with perfect focus, visibly pleased at his ability to produce real food. I'm not sure he had ever felt genuinely useful before. Well, the next time he came to see me, he still brought all of the same electronic stuff, but this time he left it all in the car. "Can we dig potatoes again?" he asked. There is no substitute for earthiness. From dust we have come, and to dust we shall return. And the good news is that most of us get some good years in between, during which we can sink our hands into that dirt. It's as good a way as any to recover our connection to the ground of our being. Digging down is as good a way to God as rising up, if only because you can feel it in your shoulders the next day. Given her years of getting her hands dirty on her farm, it makes sense that when Barbara Brown Taylor began to learn biblical Hebrew, she had trouble getting past the second chapter of Genesis, getting past the story, the passage that we just read. "Having grown up on the King James Version of the Bible," she says, "I was greatly affected by the knowledge that according to the biblical Hebrew, God did not make man in that story. God made Adam, an earthling, from Adama, the earth. God made a mud baby, a dirt creature, a dust person, and then God breathed into its nostrils, giving it divine CPR, and behold, a living being arose from the ground. The next thing God did was plant a garden in that exact same dirt. Then God made trees grow out of the ground that were pleasant to look at and good for food. And finally, God put that mud creature, that earthling, on that patch of earth and gave it the job to till it and care for it." We're so quick to forget that we aren't above the earth and its other inhabitants, but that we are of the earth, that we're made of the same material, cut from the same cloth. And we're also quick to forget that our first job given by God, and this is before everything got all mucked up with the snake and the apple and the tree, our very first job was to care for the earth, to dig into it and get our hands dirty. It's amazing how we mud creatures can turn even what sounds like such a simple task into a divisive issue. Just look at our presbytery, the group of churches in this region. Our presbytery extends from Boulder up to Fort Collins, out to the eastern plains of Colorado, and then into the panhandle of Nebraska. There have been requests at a couple of recent presbytery meetings to have education about how churches can become better environmental stewards. It amazes me, given where we live, but St. Andrew is the only Earth Care congregation in this whole region. So there's a lot of room for education and growth in this area. But it has yet to happen, because every time we get close, people get scared. You know, they say, the politics of the panhandle of Nebraska and the politics of Boulder are not the same. The economic interests of the foothills and the economic interests of Weld County are not the same, they say. And because we're so worried about the differences in our trees, we forget that we're still all living in the same forest. We forget that, in the words of a newly published book, The Absent Hand, what astronauts quickly realized when they got into space, that from the point of view of the moon, making a distinction between a city and a country of any kind, or a distinction between a city and the wilderness, it's meaningless. From the point of view of the moon, we're all in the same environment. And we make these distinctions at our own peril, not just the geographic distinctions. Our siloed interests have thwarted our collective process in caring for the Earth. An Earth Day reflection reminded readers this week. For instance, crumbling infrastructure in cities, runaway housing prices in cities, those are inseparable from urban sprawl and pollution that affect climate change. Climate change accelerates rural desertification and contributes to flooding, which then wreaks havoc on billions of lives, causing unrest and even fueling the refugee crisis. We address these issues separately at our own peril. And peril is where we are. But we're not without hope. As John receives that revelation he later writes down in what becomes the last book of the Bible, as he receives the vision about what a redeemed world looks like, he doesn't receive a vision of a garden. He receives a vision of a city. It's a city characterized by the peace and well-being of Shalom, and the city is situated alongside a river. A river flowing straight from the throne of God. And next to the river is a tree. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, we're told. I'm struck that people can create cities, bad ones, good ones, great ones, but only God can create a tree. The earth needs healing from our modern lifestyle. And so do we. And I'm not just talking about kids like the 11-year-old that visited Taylor's farm, the kid who is an expert in everything having to do with screens, but who had never had an experience of being truly useful until he helped her dig potatoes. I'm talking about mud creatures of every age, all of us in need of healing. One of the leading experts of our day in healing is the relatively recently deceased neurologist Oliver Sacks. In addition to being a neurologist, he was also an author, but he's probably best known for being the doctor portrayed by Robin Williams in the movie Awakenings. Some of Sacks's writings have been published posthumously, including an essay in which Sacks wrote, "In 40 years of medical practice, I've found only two types of non-pharmaceutical therapies to be vitally important in treating people with chronic neurological problems: music and gardens. In many cases, gardens and nature are more powerful than any medication. For instance, he writes, my friend Lowell has moderately severe Tourette's syndrome. In his usual busy city environment, he has hundreds of tics and verbal ejaculations each day, grunting, jumping, touching things compulsively. I was therefore amazed one day when we were hiking in the desert to realize that his tics had disappeared completely. The remoteness, the uncrowdedness of the scene, combined with some ineffable calming effect of nature, it served to diffuse his ticking, to normalize his neurological state, at least for a time. And, continues Sachs, I have a number of patients with very advanced dementia or Alzheimer's disease who have very little sense of orientation to their surroundings. They may have forgotten or can't access how to even tie their own shoes or how to use the most basic of kitchen utensils. But you put them in front of a flower bed with a bunch of seedlings, and they know exactly what to do. I've never seen such a patient plant something upside down. Clearly, he concludes, nature calls to something very deep within us. Perhaps because it calls us to remember who we are and how we were made. Perhaps because we mud creatures were made of the very same thing. Perhaps because it calls on that primal awareness of the first job we were given, to till God's earth and keep it. Amen.